A lot of comedians basically miss an opportunity with social media because they don't use it to kind of promote themselves. If they do use it, maybe not as effectively as they could. You can post one that will get a million views, and then the next one you'll post will get 5,000 if you're lucky. It's a very supportive sort of atmosphere. Like, a lot of comics go down there and try out new material and stuff. You get to see, obviously, people who are just starting out in comedy, but you also get a lot of like more seasoned acts, like pro acts who are coming down and trying out new material. So you get a bit of a mix of quality, obviously, but it's a good room. It was one of my first jokes that I wrote. It's probably still one of the best jokes in terms of like the reaction that it gets. I set it up, like I say, I was at a business networking event last week, and this fella came up to me, asked me, what's my net worth? And then I pulled the net out and say, I don't know, I made it myself.
My wife's from Tanzania, which surprises quite a lot of people, because apparently I give off quite a racist vibe. I don't know if it's the shaved head or the clothes or some of my criminal convictions, but I can assure you I'm not racist, some of my best wives are black.
Hi, folks. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Sam Thorley on today's podcast. He is a content creator. You'll see him on TikTok and Instagram Reels, and he's right here on the podcast today. Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Hello. Yes, I'm doing all right. Thanks, Ted. Thanks for having me on.
So, why comedy and why TikTok?
Well, I've always sort of fancied myself as a bit of a funny man. I don't think I would have had the I'd always sort of fancied doing stand-up, but I don't think I would have had the courage to do it. So basically, I sort of dabbled with different forms of videos for a few years. Like, at one point, I had like a craft beer page on YouTube and Instagram. I was doing like homebrewing videos, and then I sort of like ran out of steam with that. And so around the time that the lockdowns kicked in, when COVID hit the UK. Early 2020, I'd been hearing a lot about TikTok, and I just decided to give it a go, just making comedy videos, really. Started off just doing little sketches, and then eventually got into stand-up once COVID eased and the lockdowns eased and things started to open up again. So it was, I kind of used TikTok as a bit of a gateway drug, I think, into the world of comedy, just to kind of build up a little bit of following and give myself a bit of confidence, I think, to start doing stand-up.
So you're kind of a content creator. Before you did the comedy, you were doing craft beer. Was that kind of a straight thing, or were you doing it in a comedic way?
A little bit, yeah. I was trying to make it entertaining, I suppose. Like, I would like make sneak little jokes in here and there. But yeah, it wasn't like a straight up. It wasn't like a comedy thing per se. It was more about the home brewing stuff. I did like little beer reviews as well. Mm-hmm. But nobody, they didn't get a lot. Didn't get a lot of traction because it wasn't that. It wasn't particularly. Some of the homebrew videos were quite useful, I think, for people who were interested in homebrewing. Some of those got quite a few views on YouTube. But yeah, the most of the content probably it wasn't the kind of thing that was going to go anywhere. Which is, I think, is why I sort of lost steam, lost a bit of interest in it. Eventually, did it for about a year, and then eventually just thought. I sort of knew secretly deep down the comedy was what I wanted to do. So I just thought I'll start doing that.
So is that something you want to do, what, instead of your day job, or are you just building up towards it, or what's the deal there?
Yeah, I would like to do it full time. Yeah, if I could do comedy full time, but it's quite, I think I'm still some way off that. Like, it takes a few years to kind of build a reputation. It's certainly stand-up wise, it takes quite a long time to build up build up the skills and then build up a reputation on the circuit as being like a decent act that people want to book. So it's a long haul thing, but yeah, ultimately I would quite like to do comedy full time.
Just leaving the in real life stuff to one side, in terms of your online stuff, I mean, just to give the viewers some sort of idea, I mean, how many followers do you have across social platforms?
The main account's TikTok, really. It's about 170,000 on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram, I think, is about 15,000. Those are the two main apps that I use. Like I said, I started off on TikTok with the comedy stuff and then basically just started using Instagram because I figured it's probably a good idea to be using more than one app. I do post on Facebook a little bit as well. And not so much on YouTube. I have got a YouTube account, but I don't tend to post as much on there. I'm trying to get more into the Facebook, actually, as I'm doing longer vids, like longer videos. I've started doing those recently, and they work better on Facebook. Videos over 3 minutes, they work a lot better on Facebook because that's what the algorithm pushes, because they want to keep people on there for longer.
Yeah.
So I need to post more on Facebook. So I think that's one of my goals for this year, try and grow a bit more on the other apps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's your what are your other resolutions for the year?
I've got quite a specific one about my morning routine's was a bit of a shambles last year. Some days I'd sort of wake up late. I'd go to bed too late and then end up waking up late. And so I need to pick my son up and take him to school. And so I do that every morning. And so I'd end up skipping breakfast and just not starting the day off properly. So I'm trying to do a better job of having a more consistent, organized morning routine. That's probably the main one that I think I've focused on this year. And the other one is just to be more consistent with stand-up in particular, because I think last year had quite a lot going on, so I sort of sacrificed the stand-up a little bit and was focused more on family stuff and the videos as well. So I kept the videos going pretty consistently, but not so much with the stand-up. So this year I want to try and do stand-up twice a week. That's my ambition, or that's my resolution, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. So how much stand-up have you done? Where have you been seen?
Well, mostly Manchester. So I go into Manchester, do nights there. So it's usually just open mic nights because I'm still quite new. So I started doing it. First set I did was just over 2 years ago. But I wasn't, like I said, throughout those 2 years, I've not really been doing it consistently. So it's kind of been a bit on and off. So I've probably done about 100 sets, if I was to estimate. I've not been counting, but I've probably done it in terms of getting up there about 100 times. So I've done a fair bit, but not as consistent as I think I need to be.
Because when you hear comedians talking about doing stand-up and sort of planning out what they're doing with that, obviously you've got to set... Well, some people are writing it. Some people have got it in their head. Some people are doing a combination of the two. How does it kind of work for you? Because if you've done like 100 sets, you're kind of getting definitely into the vibe.
Yeah.
What have you got? Have you got like a 5 minute set or 10 minutes, or what have you got put together? And you know, if somebody said, "Oh, you're up on stage right now," how do you recall that? Have you got it in your head? Have you got things that you would look at?
Yeah, I've definitely got I've probably got about 15 minutes of like material. I've got like a core set of material that I know works, and I've kind of refined a little bit over the last couple of years. But what I usually do, so I've got a Word document that's what I basically use, and I'll just sort of like keep everything in there and just like, because I think it's electronically, it's just easier to tweak and change things. Obviously, if you write it out handwriting style, it makes it a bit awkward if you want to just change a little line in there. So I've got a Word document, but I think I do try and when I'm working on new material, I try and think it through in my head rather than write it down first, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it's more natural, I think, to kind of think things through and almost talk it through yourself, because that's how when you perform it, obviously you perform it verbally. So I think it's more natural to kind of, it works better for me anyway. I think everyone's got their own style, like you said, but it works better for me to kind of like almost talk it through out loud first and then write it down afterwards. Because I think it just flows a bit better. But yeah, if I'm doing new material at an open mic night, I usually have a little pad with me with some bullet points just to make sure I don't lose where I am if I'm doing new stuff. But there's about 10 minutes of material I've got that I've memorized, and I don't need to check my notes for that stuff. But if I'm doing new stuff, I'll usually have a notepad with me.
And I take it goes down well, does it? I mean, does it convert? Does what you're doing on videos convert to stage?
It is very different, really. Like a lot of the ideas I'll kind of like share, but I have to, it is different. Like it's not really So it was a bit of a learning curve at the start. Stuff that works particularly well on social media doesn't necessarily work as a stand-up idea. So it's kind of Yes and no, I think is the answer to your question. Like, it's stand-up's like it's trial and error, really. Like, some stuff I'll try, and I'll think, oh, that's funny, and then I'll start performing it. I'll write it and then start performing it, and then realize pretty quickly, like, I don't know why I thought this was going to work, but it's obviously not. So yeah, it's hit and miss, but that's kind of the process, I suppose.
When people talk about comedy or starting out in comedy, very often they're asked the same question. So I'm going to be really boring and ask you that question, which is, who do you watch? Who's your comedy heroes, for want of a better way of putting it?
Yeah. So I think I've been quite heavily influenced by Ricky Gervais, probably more from The Office rather than his stand-up. Like I do watch his stand-up. I haven't seen his most recent one. Yeah, I think he's released one in the last few weeks, hasn't he? But so yeah, I was really into The Office, like when I was at school. Like, me and my mate Tom used to basically like just fire David Brent quotes at each other. That was like pretty much all we did for the last couple of years of our school career. And I think I picked up quite a few Gervaisisms, or just mannerisms, that more David Brent probably than Gervais. But yeah, so I think he's probably been the biggest influence, but not necessarily in terms of stand up. I quite like watching a lot of the American stand up comics.
Yeah,
those were the ones that I used to watch when I was a bit younger. I remember I used to watch Cat Williams, like Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Louis C.K. as well. I've watched quite a lot of Louis C.K. So I think stand-up wise, I probably watch more American comedians than the British ones.
Mm. Yeah, because I mean, comedy seems to have changed a lot. I mean, certainly in terms of like the open mic stuff and, you know, just doing clubs or whatever in Manchester. Compare that. I mean, thinking about Manchester in particular, I always think about Bernard Manning, and because he had the club in Manchester. It was the Embassy Club or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Embassy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going back a long time, but I remember sort of driving past it once. I never went, but I remember hearing about it. But a very different type of comedy. But at the same time, what do you weave any kind of the crowd work, as they call it? Do you weave any of that into it? Or do you kind of stick to your, right, here's my 10 minutes of quality stuff?
Yeah, I'll stick more to the material. Like, the crowd work is quite difficult. It is an important skill to have, so I do need to work on it a little bit more. But there is a tendency, I think, when you're quite new to comedy, you only do 5 minute sets usually at open mic night. Some nights you'll do 10 minutes if you do like a more of an organized gig rather than open mic night. But so it's not a lot of time, 5 minutes. So you kind of use that time. It's the stage time is really precious, like, because it is quite hard to get stage time. So so when you get the opportunity, you kind of fall into the habit of working on your material rather than doing crowd work, because it's precious time to do that. So I think the more established you get and you get more stage time, then it's probably a good idea to work on the crowd work as well. But I don't tend to do as much of that. Sometimes something happens in the room, like as you're up there, that you kind of have to acknowledge. Like, so that's a skill in itself, is like knowing how to deal with moments like that. I remember I did a night at the Frog and Bucket in Manchester. It's called Beat the Frog. It's a night for new acts, basically. You go on stage, you just got to try and stay up there for 5 minutes without the audience kicking you off, essentially. That's how it works if you're not doing well. Mm-hmm. And somebody was sick in the audience as I was doing my set. I was about a minute in to my set.
Tough and crowd.
Somebody was it wasn't my material, I think, that made him sick. I think there was some alcohol involved as well. But that was an opportunity. That was a learning curve for me. It didn't throw me off too badly. I managed to recover, but at the time I just didn't know like how to handle that at all. Like, because I was still quite new to comedy at that stage. Well, I still am now. So but a more seasoned comedian would have known, like, would have used that, because it was a good opportunity in hindsight to say something funny. It's quite a unique situation to be in.
Next time somebody's sick on in the middle of one of your sets, you'll know what to say, because I'm sure you've probably thought of plenty of things since.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, the obvious thing to say would be like, obviously, I hope it wasn't my material that was the problem that made someone sick, because that would be a bit of a weird badge of honor to have in itself if your set was going so badly and it made somebody throw up in the audience. Then that's quite a unique sticker to have on your CV. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he was quite drunk, the guy, because he just left. Like he was sick, and he was going to get thrown out. So he kind of, I think he just realized it was best to just walk out. It took me a couple of seconds to realize what had actually happened. But yeah, it was a surreal moment.
Well, at least you had a good reason to walk out in the middle of your set.
Yeah. It wasn't my fault, I don't think.
So let's talk about TikTok. How long does it take to get to, what was it, 170,000?
Yeah, about 170 something, yeah. Well, I've been on there now for about coming up to 4 years, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. Coming up to 4 years. I started in 2020, so mm-hmm. yeah, not far off. So it's been a bit of a slow. It's been a gradual thing for me, really. I've not really had any kind of one video that's. Every now and then, you'll get a video that goes a bit more viral and get like a million views or so, and you get a little spike, mm-hmm. but. There's not been one moment where it's kind of gone like whoosh. It's kind of been like a gradual thing. But so some people grow a lot quicker. Like there'll be some accounts that will go from zero to a million followers in inside a year. Or it really depends. Obviously, it's obviously depends how good your content is and how committed you are to posting regularly, that kind of stuff. So everyone's got their own kind of trajectory, really.
Yeah. What you've got is something that's slowly building, and it's kind of sustainable. I mean, do you see that?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I do feel like I've still got. Yeah, the views will fluctuate quite a lot. So especially on TikTok, like you can post a video and it gets 1.5 million views, and then the next one you post will get 5,000 views. So it's really it is really hit and miss. But I think that's just like the nature of the algorithm. Like it's all about, you don't get a lot of credit for previous success, if that makes sense. The algorithm doesn't really care. It's all about how that one video does. Like it's all about watch time. If people aren't watching it, when you first post it, they'll show it to like 1,000 people, 1,000 accounts. And if no one's interested, they won't push it much further than that. So it's all about just focusing on, I think, just making good content, really. Don't worry too much about the numbers or followers or views or anything like that, and just try and keep making content. The big challenge for me is like trying to keep things fresh and moving into like new content areas rather than just things get a bit stale. Mm-hmm. Because I think last year I was struggling a little bit with, I did feel like I was kind of just making content for the wrong reasons, really. I feel like I slipped into the habit of trying to make stuff that I thought would get views rather than making stuff that I thought was actually like interesting.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to do a bit more of the latter and kind of work on stuff that I'm actually interested in. So I've started doing, I also want to start doing a bit more stand-up content as well, because I didn't post that much stand-up stuff last year. Mm-hmm. I was going to open mic nights and stuff, but I wasn't really doing a lot of content. And I think there's loads of interesting content to be made around stand-up, particularly around open mic nights, because there's not many acts. Loads of people post clips, like stand-up clips online. Comedians I'm talking about, obviously. But not many people actually post stuff about like the actual process that goes into stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, everyone sees the end product, but no one sees, like, no one's really sharing the behind-the-scenes stuff. Some people probably are, but I don't see a lot of that stuff. I follow loads of acts on Instagram and TikTok and et cetera. So I want to do a bit more of that this year as well.
Yeah, because I noticed that, because I saw one, I remember one video of yours where you were doing a bit of stand-up, and there was kind of the build-up to that, and you were talking about how you're anticipating how it's going to go and so on. And that is interesting. And what's also interesting is now a lot of comedians and a lot of stand-ups, they're paving the way as far as their career is concerned by putting their stuff out basically for free on YouTube, and putting out specials on YouTube. And such like. Do you see yourself doing something like that in the future?
Yeah. I think I'm probably still a couple of years off being able to do that. Like, yeah, I'm not really at that kind of stage, but yeah, hopefully in a couple of years, maybe down the line, I'd like to put out, do longer shows and sort of try and build an audience in parallel. Like, because at the moment people really just watch my videos. It's more about the social media stuff rather than, like, people probably don't really see me as like a stand-up comedian because I'm still quite new to it and I don't really post that much stand-up stuff online. So it's kind of, over the next couple of years, I suppose I want to kind of like just address that, just rebalance that a little bit. So I'm more of a stand-up. I'm not going to abandon the stuff I do on social media, but more of a stand-up comedian who does videos as well, if that makes sense, rather than, yeah, at the moment, yeah, I'm just like a content creator, I suppose. Most comedians on the stand-up circuit, they don't really use social media effectively. Like a lot of people post clips of their of their sets and stuff, and that's all they'll do. But so they don't really utilize. So they kind of do things the hard way, really. If you want, like, the old-fashioned way, if you wanted to be a stand-up comedian before like social media was around, is you'd start doing open mic nights and you'd build your set and you'd build your confidence, and then eventually you'd start doing open spots on the circuit. That's what they call it. It's like a trial spot, a proper gig. And then after 3 or 4 years, you might start getting some paid gigs, and you just slowly build a reputation and eventually find your way onto the circuit and hopefully make it onto TV if you're successful. And a lot of people still just do that. A lot of comedians basically miss an opportunity with social media because they don't use it to kind of promote themselves. And if they do use it, maybe not as effectively as they could. So I think I've definitely got a good opportunity there because I've kind of already got this. I've already got a bit of social media. I've built a bit of a following, and I kind of understand how to make content. So it gives me a bit of an edge, I think, on the other acts. But I just need to, I still need to improve stand-up wise. Obviously, like I was saying before, I'm still relatively new to it. So it's just a case of developing the stand-up skills as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you started out, what was your objective? Were you in the middle of COVID thinking, what shall I do? Shall I just get back onto the content creation and do something to amuse myself? Or was it, I'm going to kickstart my stand-up career and get out there. What was the motivation?
Yeah, I think initially it was probably wasn't initially thinking about stand-up at the start when I first started posting the comedy videos. I think I was just looking for something a bit different, really. Like I wasn't really sure what I was doing work-wise was what I wanted to do long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, I've always been able to make people laugh, just usually with just my friends or people that I know, just like socially, I've always been able to make people laugh. So I just thought I'd give it a go, start making some comedy videos, see what happens. So I think the objective was to eventually be able to do it as a job, I suppose. But when I first started, I wasn't really sure how that would work or what it would look like. I'm still sort of figuring that out to a certain extent because, it's not an easy thing. It takes a long time to kind of build a full-time career out of it. But I think I'm heading in that direction, but still some way off, I think. So I think the long story short, I think the objective was to try and carve out an alternative career, I think.
What's your best video? What's had the most views?
The biggest one was probably... I think it was on Instagram, actually. There's two that have got pretty much the same number of views. I think the biggest one I had, one on TikTok that was got about 3.5 million views, and it was a really like silly video, just a short video, and I nearly didn't post it because I thought it was just a bit of a dad joke. It was so you might have seen on Instagram and TikTok you can duet videos where you basically. You comment on it to the video, a video next to you, and you sort of react into it.
Yeah.
So it was just a video of a guy throwing a fishing net into a lake, and it was in China, I think. So it was an Asian guy, it was a bit of a pun. I just said this guy in the video here is one of the wealthiest people in Asia, he DM'd me asking me what's my net worth. And I said, I DM'd him asking him what's his net worth. And he said, I don't know, I made it myself. As in, like, he made the net himself. It was a bit of a corny joke. And I didn't really think, I didn't post it, but it just blew up for some reason. That one got about 3.5 million views.
Mm.
And I had one on Instagram that got about the same number. It was just a cooking tutorial of me making beans on toast.
Right.
That one did really well. Got a lot of views. Got a few followers off that one.
Step one, beans in the pan. A lot of people put the beans in the toaster. That's a common mistake. Don't do that. Get your bread out, whack that in the toaster. Now, these toasters can be tricky to figure out how they work, but eventually I got there. You just press that down and then it turns on.
Quick word on the toaster. Now, these are a little bit more expensive than some of the other ingredients on the list, but I only recently found out that you can, in fact, use these more than once. So don't feel like you have to buy a new one for every set of beans on toast.
That was a slightly longer video, the beans on toast one. That was over a minute. So that was probably a better video in terms of like actual effort that went into it. But yeah, you never know. Like, you never know what's going to blow up. Yeah. It's a bit random to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think I saw the beans on toast one. I also saw one, I think it might have been more recent, that you were making bugs on a log.
Yeah.
That
was another. Yeah, I've done a few like little cooking tutorials like that, just little spoof cooking tutorials.
Mm.
I think I'll mainly off the back of that beans on toast one. I think it's a good way to make sort of longer form content. I've been trying to make longer videos, basically longer than a minute. Because initially when I started doing TikTok, it was short videos because it was easy to get views with shorter videos, basically.
Mm.
But now I'm trying to kind of doing longer videos is a bit more substantive, and it's a bit post stuff that's got a bit more substance to it. Basically, it takes a bit of more effort to do that, obviously, but it's what I'm trying to do.
Mm. The thing is, even with your longer ones, the good thing is there's the stupid puns and little bits that you might have as a standalone video elsewhere that have done perfectly well. And then you've got stuff like that in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm just watching one thing for one payoff, one punchline at the end of it. Mm. You've actually got, boom, 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 bits as you go along. So they're pretty good value. As videos go. What's been your worst one? What have you had that's either completely bombed or it's had you people chasing you around with pitchforks?
I post videos that don't do well, like, all the time. Like, so there's been loads of videos, especially on TikTok. Like I said earlier, you can post one that will get a million views, and then the next one you'll post will get 5,000 if you're lucky. So it is, I've had loads of videos that don't get a lot of views. I'm trying to think of one. I think in the early days, I was I wasn't as careful or worried about offending people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably a little bit immature with some of the stuff I was doing. I'm trying to think of a specific video and that got a lot of, the thing is on TikTok, it's difficult. They're so strict on the community guidelines. So you can't really say anything too crazy because the video will just get taken down.
Yeah.
But I did a video that didn't get taken down. But yeah, looking back at it, I wasn't really happy with it. It was, I can't even remember what the joke was, but it was basically a video of a dog being attacked by a snake. It was being strangled by a snake, like a constrictor mm-hmm. type thing.
Yeah.
And I did a video, like, it was a duet, and it was me basically pretending to be the dog. Like, I was from the point of view of the dog being strangled. And it obviously wasn't very funny. Like, and I remember I got a comment from somebody, said something like, it just said, oh yeah, this is disgusting, or something like, I'm going to unfollowed, basically that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, like, yeah, I think I might have actually deleted the video. I can't remember if I brought it down or not, but that was one example where that was the first one that came to my mind where I wasn't happy with that. Like, yeah. Didn't, looking back, it's not the kind of thing that I'd post again anyway.
Yeah. People love animals.
Yeah.
You've got to keep away from the animals.
Yeah, it was.
If it was a child being strangled by a snake, you probably wouldn't have got any issues with that.
maybe.
Yeah, but a dog. Oh no.
Yeah, the dogs. Yeah, it's yeah. It was a. I understand why people didn't like that, because quite often I'll get comments from people who don't like jokes that I make, and I'm okay with that. I'll always try and respond positively, as long as the comment someone, because often people leave comments like constructive criticism, you could call it. Like they'll just say, "I didn't really like that," and they might follow me, and so I'll recognize the name, because I get sometimes people comment on multiple videos. So I'm quite happy for people to take issue with jokes and stuff. And nine times out of 10, I'll disagree, but I can sort of see where they're coming from, and I'm okay with that. That's life, isn't it? Subjective, especially comedy. But yeah, there's been a few occasions where I've kind of, in the end, agreed with the commenter and regretted the joke or the video, and that dog one being an example. But usually it's a case of like, oh yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but just agree to disagree kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think you must be quite heavily into your football, because there's quite a few football references in your jokes, and I have to say that's where you lose me, because I don't know anything about football.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Would you say that you kind of got a niche, or have you got a way in which you would want things to go? I mean, what lands best for you, joke wise?
I think more recently, I haven't been posting them on Instagram, so you might not have seen them, but. Because they're quite long, the videos. They tend to be about 3 or 4 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And I did try and post one on Instagram, but Instagram gets a bit weird. They limit the reels, I think, to 90 seconds. That's the maximum. So I don't think you can. I don't know if I can post them on there. I'll probably post a few more clips. But I've been doing like football, like vlogs. Like, so I'm a Stoke fan. I go to Stoke games. So I like record clips during the game and before and after during halftime. Just anything that I think's like amusing. Like I can say something about that. Mm-hmm. And so I've been posting those, and they've been getting quite a lot of, I always gauge it not necessarily by the views, but by the comments. Yeah. Like, 'cause that you can tell if people are interested in it. And some of them do quite well. Like some of them get like hundreds of thousands of views. I've not had one that's got like massive amounts of like millions of views yet, but I can tell that that's kind of a bit more meaningful content that people are enjoying, because just gauging off the comments, like a lot of positive feedback and people just genuinely interested. So I think, yeah, the niche probably going, I think there's two areas I'm probably going to make a lot more content this year. It's like, the football stuff, going to keep doing that. And also, stand up, like I said earlier, I want to try and make a lot more content around stand up. So those will probably be the two areas I think I'll probably focus on a bit more content wise.
But nobody's going to be disappointed. You're still going to do your recipes.
Yeah. I won't be exclusive to those two things. Usually I'll get an idea and within a couple of days I'll churn out the videos. It could be anything really. So yeah, I won't disappoint people who are enjoying the cooking videos.
So in terms of live performances and the open mic and stuff like that, where is it that you do the performances, and where can people see you actually playing?
Most of the gigs I do at the moment are sort of open mic nights. I've got a couple of things booked in Manchester at the end of the month. But yeah, that'll be probably just on my stories is probably the best place. If people, I'll always post, if I'm doing a gig, I'll always post them on Instagram stories. So that's probably the place to keep an eye on if people are looking to come and watch me do a bit of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's just open mic nights. Like I said, usually I go to an open mic night on Wednesdays in Manchester. So it's in a place called Stage and Radio in the Northern Quarter.
Right.
So if anyone's interested in like trying a bit of stand up themselves, then they should come along to that, because it is a really good night. So it's a very supportive sort of atmosphere. Like a lot of comics go down there and try out new material and stuff. You get to see obviously people who are just starting out in comedy, but you also get a lot of like, more seasoned acts, like pro acts who are coming down and trying out new material. So you get a bit of a mix of quality, obviously, but it's a good room to kind of learn the craft of stand-up. So yeah, that would be something to check out if people are interested in trying stand-up themselves.
So you'd say it's a really kind of positive experience. I mean, I can imagine people feeling a little bit nervous going out, especially people who've all got glasses in their hands, and thinking, how am I actually going to be able to do this and not come away either terribly embarrassed or booed or whatever it may be. Have you found that people have been supportive just generally?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've had a lot of support. All the other acts are very supportive. Like 99% of audience members are always supportive as well. When you're doing like a proper gig with an audience, because at open mic nights it tends to be mostly comedians in the audience. Like it tends to be the other acts who are sort of like watching each other. If that makes sense, you get a few additional people in there as well sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, most people are very supportive. It is nerve-wracking. Like, I remember I was really nervous the first time I did stand-up, but I think the best thing that can happen to you when you're doing stand-up, when you're new to it, is the best thing that can happen is you have a bad set, if that makes sense, because then you realise it's really not that big of a deal. Like, it's, you know, the world doesn't end. It's kind of like, I think you overestimate how much people are thinking about you, if that makes sense. Like, you go to any open mic night, comedy wise, and you're going to see probably two or three people have a bad set every week. Like, it's law of averages. Like, it happens to everybody, especially when you're trying out new material as well. You never really know if it's going to work or not. So it's kind of, you realize as soon as you have your first bad set, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, so that's quite a liberating thing to go through. Because that happened to me probably, I think, on my fourth set that I did, had a bit of a rough one, and realized pretty quickly that it's, obviously, it's not particularly enjoyable at the time, but once you've been through it once, you realise that it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, it takes a while to realise that sort of thing, doesn't it? Yeah. I think that does also come with age, when you realise that actually people aren't really interested in what you're doing and what you're doing wrong, more specifically. Mm. I know you kind of, you know, walk outside and you think, I don't think my trousers are sort of riding very well, and I probably look a complete fool. But the reality is, nobody's looking at your trousers. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the worst thing. It's the apathy. I want people to care about my trousers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's good that it's a supportive environment. With the open mics, when you, like you say, a lot of the people in the audience are also comedians. Is it a situation where people are all sat there thinking, oh, shit, I wish I'd thought of that? Do you get a lot of that?
There's probably an element of that. Yeah, I think when you see somebody doing well, I think your first thought is probably, I think there's a sense of relief, because open mic nights, you never know how it's going to go. Like, nobody wants to sit there and see somebody, you know, bomb for 5 minutes. It's quite uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's probably an element of, so you want people to do well, but I think there is probably an element of jealousy as well. If you see somebody who's really like smashing it, and maybe if you've already been up and your set didn't go as well as you'd liked, even if you did okay, you kind of think, oh. So yeah, I think there's always that element of like, well, yeah, well, like I said, why didn't I think of that? Or that's a really good idea. Like, so yeah, there's always a, I think probably an element of that, but I think it's kind of overridden by the more supportive side of things, where people want you to do well, generally speaking. Nobody wants you to really struggle. So
For anybody that hasn't already stumbled across your stuff, either on TikTok or Instagram or elsewhere, where can you be found, and what are you doing on those spaces?
So I basically post regularly on TikTok, Instagram at Sam Fawley. On Instagram, it's at sam.fawley, and I am posting sketches. It's a lot of football content. I'm going to be posting more stand up content. I'm also trying to post more on Facebook as well, so I'm on there as well. Just search Sam Fawley on there, should come up. So you can expect a lot more stand-up content this year, and football content, as well as the usual kind of nonsensical sketches that I've been doing for the last nearly 4 years.
nonsensical stuff is all good. I think everybody loves a good pun.
Yeah. Mm. Important not to lose sight of that. That net joke that I mentioned earlier, the net worth one, mm-hmm. that was one of the first jokes I actually translated into the stand-up material wise. So it's just, I actually bought a little, I don't think I've got it to hand, but I bought a little fishing net type thing. You know, the kind of net you use for a goldfish tank to scoop out a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
I bought that. So I needed one that could fit in my back pocket. So it's one of my first jokes that I wrote. It's probably still one of the best jokes in terms of like the reaction that it gets. Mm-hmm. And it's just that I set it up. Like I say, I was at a business networking event last week and this fella came up to me, asked me, what's my net worth? And then I pulled the net out and say, I don't know, I made it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that one always gets a good reaction. As long as I don't fumble the net, which I did once, the net kind of got stuck in my back pocket as I was trying to pull it out. So yeah. I kind of like butchered the joke a little bit, but generally that one goes down pretty well. It's one of the few examples probably of a joke that I've just basically just converted straight from social media to stand up and it works.
Yeah.
Usually I have to work a bit harder to kind of change things around a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can't beat a bit of prop comedy.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of comedians turn their nose up at prop comedy, but I do like it. Like there's a few acts on the circuit now I've seen that do a really good job with props as well.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with it myself. I think it's just another avenue of a sort of a creativity comedy wise, isn't it? Like it's a bit more. I don't know. I think so. Seeing someone, I often find watching people do stand up specials. An hour of someone just stood there talking with a microphone can be a bit repetitive. So I do think there's something to be said for kind of mixing it up a little bit.
Mm.
Like I really like Tim Vine. I don't know if you've heard of Tim Vine.
Yeah,
I think he's really good, and he does predominantly one liners, and he does loads of prop jokes and those kind of jokes where you, like you said earlier, you're watching, you think, oh, that's a really good idea. Why has no one thought of that before? You know. Like one of my favorite jokes he ever did, but this was years ago before I started doing comedy. I ripped it off and posted it on Facebook on my personal account, and it got loads of likes. It was basically he had CV written down on a piece of paper, and he basically he'd been colouring it in, but he just left a little bit at the bottom, mm-hmm. and he set it up. He just said, "Oh yeah, I've nearly finished filling in my CV," and he's like, "I've just got to do that little bit there corner." Like really simple idea, but like. Really funny at the same time. Tim Vine's really good. It's one of my favourites.
Yeah. Listen, thanks very much for being on the show. It's interesting to find out some kind of insights into what you're doing, what you're aiming to do in the future, look at the comedy that you have been doing, and hopefully have you on again soon.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks for asking me on. It's been nice to have a chat, and it's been an enjoyable conversation. So, yeah, thanks again.
That was a conversation recorded on the 7th of January 2024 with Sam Thorley. My thanks again to Sam for being on the show. My thanks to you for watching and for listening. If you'd like to contact me, you can DM me at Ted Jones Media. And if you want to be on the show, please do get in touch. Until the next video, goodbye.